Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to be here. Glad to be here and hear the Word of God again. Thank you for what you shared, Willie and Philip, in your messages. It's a blessing. I know that it seems like there's always that opportunity to have resentment in our hearts and to be unwilling to just give a clear forgiveness and forgive from the heart, as the Word tells us. So thank you for that. That was an inspiration. Well, today I'd like to talk a little bit about, been thinking here, it's probably been a few years ago, I had a message on the body of Christ, and I'd like to do that again this morning, just to kind of refresh our hearts. And in that, I'd like to maybe turn to Matthew chapter 16 for our opening scripture here, if you would with me. But maybe before we do that, we'll just bow our heads here and pray that the Lord would have His will and way among us. So let's just pray here. Dear Lord, we do come before You here this morning. We come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. We thank You for the Word of God, Lord, which Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. We thank You also, Lord, that we will be judged according to the word that is in this book. We thank You, Lord, that You've warned us against letting out or adding to the words that are in this book, the prophecy that's in this book, Lord. I pray that we could, each one of us, submit ourselves to the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of His precepts and direction that He gives us, Lord. I pray for strength and wisdom today, Lord, and humility as we share the Word of God, and give us all understanding, Lord, that the Word is holy and true. We thank You, Lord, for everyone that is here, Lord. We ask You to minister to the directions that are necessary to comfort the hurting and to help us, Lord, to gird up the loins of our mind that we might be disciples of Jesus Christ and to love You with our whole heart and mind and soul and strength. We thank You for each one that is here. Bless the children today, Lord. Give them understanding as well. We thank You and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture in Matthew 16 is where Peter was speaking to Jesus Christ. Slow getting to it here, but and I appreciate you, Willie, this morning. And sometimes when we look at the divine order that the Word of God has given, and how that it's interesting sometimes the context that when he goes from one subject to the next, like he mentioned about unforgiveness, then moved right on into divorce. So those are some things to keep in mind here, but this was in response to when Jesus asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That is where it reminds me of John's message the other Sunday, where Jesus called Himself the Son of Man. And then their response was this, in verse 14 of Matthew 16, some that Thou art John the Baptist, some say that you're Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was a true statement. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And that was, I just remember these eternal words. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, this is the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Just a simple word there. But I would like to This was Jesus' mention of the church, and then the church was born. I wrote down here that Jesus gave his body for his body. That's how the church was born. Who said it the other, I heard this statement that, I was listening to a message, and a brother shared that when the soldiers stuck the sword in Jesus on the cross, when out came, scripture says that out came water and blood, that's where the church came out of. The rib in his side, he had some other things to say about that, but the church come out from within the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave him his body for his body. And as we were here today, we're in the church age. We've been in the church age for 2,000 years. And the principles that he gives us are eternal. They can't, they're for our lives today, each one. So, and then when we want to understand that when God designed the church, it was just like his creation. It was good and perfect and right. And we do well just to consider that. But I'd always like to, when we have in mind or thinking of things about the church, remember these words that Jesus said. It's a group of people that are scattered across the world, but there's also local fellowships made up that make this scattering across the world, that those are the ones that are going to be, that the gates of hell will not be able to destroy, if I can say it that way. Remember that foundation that, yes, the Lord said, the gates of hell are not going to destroy this church. So this is just something for me sometimes when we have doubts and fears. Remember these words. So then if we move on to, I'm going to be preaching mostly from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. It gives some direction in there in the body of Christ. And I also, in the context of what I was just talking about, the format of the scriptures, if we look at 12, it is sandwiched between 11, which has the headship order of the church and life in general for the Christian. He goes on to talk about the communion service, and the veiling is in there, then the communion service, and then he talks about the operation of the church, the gifts that are in there, and then he ends that with 13. It's amazing how it's laid out. But just think about that order sometime. It's good for us to ponder some of those things. So in 1 chapter 12, we'll just begin reading and then comment throughout of, he's talking here of the giftings within the body of Christ. And we're going to, I don't know how to, we'll just move along here and then we'll speak as the Lord gives it. It says here, now concerning spiritual gifts, he's talking about the congregation as a whole. And it's interesting that you will find, if you read a commentary, that they will quickly allude to that this was for the Corinthian church. And the precepts that are given here, they will quickly say that they'll kind of allude to, yeah, but that was for that time. But this is eternal. Because how would we like to say that 13 was just for that time? Think about it. We surely would not do that. We can't do that with this either. So I would not have you ignorant of the gifts that are in among the ye. And then he tells us, and we can identify with this here. Willie, and what you mentioned this morning, our past. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, a lot of this message here, or this chapter here, is undergirded trying to understand that the Spirit of God moves among men in different ways, but it's the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. He's trying to emphasize that. that they have the same undergirding of the Spirit of God, each brother or sister, even though they operate in a little different way and have different gifts. That's what he's calling them here. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And I think of differences of administrations. You know, there's churches in Africa, there's churches in Canada, there's churches in Bolivia, and they might do things a little different than we do. Even here in the United States, God allows for some different administrations, but he also, there has to be some clear foundational principles. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. I'd like for just to think about that verse there a little bit today. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, is given to every man to profit everyone. Each brother or sister has a gift that is, by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God, to be a prophet for me and to a prophet for those around him. It's a design of God. And I think just consider that verse. You know, we're here together to profit one another. And it's a message of God. It's just because one man doesn't have nearly all the gifts. And the gift that man has is not merely for himself, but more importantly, it's for others. That's the gift. It is, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. I'd like to just write that word with all means with dash all, A-L-L, with all. It's to profit. You profit with them and everybody that's around you. That's the beauty of that. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. There's many gifts, and there's, you know, we know that like the gift of healing, there's some brethren or some sisters that are encouragers. They can walk along when someone is downcast and say, come on, brother, let's go. You know, God is overall. He's in this with you, and he's going to lead us on. And the working of miracles or the prophecy to preach or the discerning of spirits to understand what's happening. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. It's more about what I talked of earlier. But the word of the Spirit of God divides within the body of Christ the gifts severally. That means, who knows what that means? Severally, I thought I had a good understanding, and I did somewhat, but it means separately and distinctly. To be jointly and severally bound in a contract is for each obliger to be liable to pay the whole demand in case the others are not able. Did you catch that? Let's read it again. It is to be bound in a contract. It is for each obliger or each party to be liable to pay the whole demand in case the other or others are not able. That we're willing to step in if something is going on and he's not able to do it, we're willing to help him do it or do it all for him. That's what that word severally means. It's kind of good for me to read that, you know, that the severally means that we're bound in a contract with each other that we would help when they can't do it and they can help me when I can't do it. Understand? There's some just a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. And then he goes on, then he says, now he gives our physical body as an outline how this is to function. He says, for the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He just makes it plain. That's Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and having been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We have read this many times, and I think it's good for me to just consider the simplicity that he gives us and the illustrations he lays out here. That my physical body, we can look at it, and we can look at each one here, and God, we would say that when God made Adam and Eve, he said that he looked at them, and he said that it was good. So the body, my physical body, in the design that God gives it, is good. And it's the scripture says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we can't really explain how, you know, think about, I think of just for instance of how quickly that my brain sends a message to my members. The head sends a message to the members. You know, I don't need, if I see a patch of ice, I don't need to sit down and go back to the drawing board and figure out if that ice is going to be slippery. I immediately take into account that, watch it. That's a message that just, it's delivered, but there are messages going to your, the head delivered a message to your members that it warned you. Just like you didn't even have to, and then that is why our bodies are past finding out in their perfection that God designed. But he gives this, but I like to say, you know, he gives this pattern for the body of Christ. The body of Christ. So, and there's many other instances. Each day, we use our bodies. You know, the, let's just go on here. But remember that verse, the body is one and hath many members. When it's talking about our physical members, it means it has two hands and 2 feet and 2 eyes and 1 nose and 2 ears. The body has many members, and each one is called to responsibility for the edifying and keeping ourselves, the keeping of ourselves. I also think, we'll get to that verse later on, but let's leave that for now. For by one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. And then let's, I want to touch on this just a bit. You know, the body of Christ is, there's different bodies in different places, churches, different churches in different places. But where we're, where this, the outworking has to be within the local fellowship. I don't, you know, my members don't affect members in Ohio, you know, and other places, but they do affect the members here. Just like what my hand does on this side of my body will affect my eyes and hands. If I'm not careful, they'll affect my walk, and they do affect. Each member affects the other member. And then he goes on to say here, if the foot shall say, behold, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it is of the body. The foot is of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it is part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? He's just making it as plain as he can make it here, that each member is important. And then, now just picture here, just If a being would walk in the door and he'd just be one big eyeball, we would say, whoa, I mean, come on. The whole body is not an eye, but it has, you know, each member is important. But the verse 18 says here, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. I'd like that verse means two things. Number one, that when God designed the human body, he put the hands where they belong, and he put the foot where it belongs, and he put my ears where they belong, and the nose where it belongs, and the eyes where they belong. God has put the members as it hath pleased him. He's pleased. When he designed the body, he said it was good, and he was pleased. And then in the body of Christ, that's the first meaning. The second meaning is within the body of Christ, the members are there as it hath pleased God. Right here. Do we see that? You know, that sometimes you'll get this feeling that that we might like to be somewhere else, or it looks better over there or nicer out there, but God has placed the members as it has pleased him. The question I always ask, are you pleased with where God has placed you? Are you pleased with that? Or you chafe and squirm at? You know, the thing, I just say submit yourself to God. He's pleased to have you here. You know, I'm pleased to be here. I'm glad God placed me here. But then I think of, you know, I just consider that verse. Do you agree with God where he has placed you in this body, or do we agree with God where he has placed my members in my physical body? We don't have much choice in this matter, but we do have choices in the other matter. Do we agree with God in where he has placed us as it has pleased him? And it says here, and they are all one member. And if they were all one member, where were the bodies? See that there's we can't just have a foot walk in here or a hand walking, or just one hand or one arm, or, you know, he says they're not all one members, but there's many members in one body. But now are they many members, yet but one body. He's speaking of a unity of a body of believers. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You know, there's necessary parts. You know, our body, you know, what we look upon, we see our hands and our feet and the things we talked about is very visible. Everybody sees it, but this body wouldn't operate if I didn't have a heart and lungs and stomach and things and liver that's working inside, that's undercover to help my arms and my feet and hands and legs do what they need to do. It's just the uncomely parts that we don't see, but they care. And then it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And I'd like to just talk about that a little bit. You know, the scripture I think belongs in here right now in Ephesians 5 that says that no man yet has ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. I think I'll turn to that. But you get what I mean, that God has placed in us, just physically, a desire, we want to make sure that we take care of ourselves. We want to be clean. And the thing of it is, if there's something wrong, we do whatever we can to fix it. If I hurt my foot, I look after it. I bandage it. We really have a deep care for our personal well-being in our personal bodies. We have an affection for that, and it's given of God. You know, we tend to want to be in good health. And I think about that there should be no schism in the body. You know, why is there, you know, why God has placed in us, but I'd like to ask you a question. Why is there the desire among us just to be healthy, to feel good? Why is that? Why do we want to feel good? We want to, you know, sometimes we wake up and how am I feeling? Everybody, and lately, you know, the last 2 years with this COVID thing, everybody's kind of really, really examined themselves when they get up in the morning. Well, how am I feeling today, you know? And it's kind of humorous, but God has kind of turned that crank up a little bit that we want to watch out for our bodies in a little higher sense of urgency. Well, you know, we want to know, do we have a fever, or am I coughing? Is my chest okay? And we're kind of got our radars are up, which is good. But I always think about, you know, God has placed in us a desire to feel good and to be healthy. And if we would have the same desire to have a healthy congregation, I wonder what it would look like. I'm not saying you're not healthy, but I'm just saying maybe we should gear it the other way and think about, well, God desires a healthy church, doesn't he? The church to be in good health? I think he does. Sure he does. He don't want no schism in the body. He don't want no pains. But then I think about the next question is the desire to feel good. Why is that? You know, when we're feeling healthy and well, it means that we're operating efficiently and productive. Production is high, and we like to work, and we feel we're primed to operate in the fullest capacity that God has designed us for. And it's good and right. You know, when we're healthy, we don't mind just putting the hand to the plow and working and getting up and going to work and you know, delighting in putting bread on the table, and the homemaker's delight in keeping the house. But it all kind of hinges on if we're feeling okay. And there's been a lot of sickness. I mean, it's kind of in the last 2 years, there's been a lot of colds and flus and COVIDs and you name it. But there's and along with that, it's almost interesting that the health and wellness aspect of society has just ratcheted up to another level. I mean, especially in the plain circles. If you get the budget or the communicator or the busy beaver or the people's exchanges, they got whole sections in there of a health and wellness things that you can do to feel better, to get healthy. It's amazing. I read one the other day. It's a new one to me, but in the people's exchange, there was one in there for a salt sauna where you sit in this salty air and it's supposed to, get you healthy. I'm like, oh, that's a new one. But there's 25 pages in there of vitamins and supplements and minerals, and everybody wants to be healthy. That's good. I mean, we desire to be healthy, but sometimes I think we pay too much attention to it. But God does want us to have to be practical. And then it says here, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, I think about within our bodies, I mentioned that before, but within the Church of Jesus Christ, I'd like for us to understand that we just got done reading that we're members one of another. We're members here, and it likened our members of our body that there's a connection where it's like on my body here, I just can't disconnect my arm and think everything's okay. But there's a bonding connection within the body of Christ, so that when there's a hurting or when the body is suffering from some health issues, let's put it like that. I'm talking about this church. You know, if there's some issues going on here, that we would all take ownership and responsibility and look after what we can. That's God's heart. That we don't look at then, but the thing that I'd like to say here is that because when my eyesight is failing, it's going to affect my body. If I need to get glasses, then I better get glasses. And if I need a crutch for my leg, then I better get a crutch. You know, I take care of that we strive together to have a healthy body. The things that, you know, things that make for life. And the thing that, like I said before, what comes out of a healthy body of believers? You know, there's outreach. We have our vision or our goals are just outside of this church, you know. There's a lost and dying community right outside our doors. Think about the health of the church in relating to that. You know, is this church a holy place where it looks appealing to the lost sinner? That's why it's necessary that the body of Christ strives to be healthy. And there's ways. You know, I think about the health of the church. I think in 1 John 3, I'd like to turn to a scripture here. He mentions that. He said that, I think it's 3 John 2. It says here, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." He's speaking to Gaius there, one of his disciples, that he said, I need you to be in health. And that's necessary for us. And then the thing that, you know, what affects our health? I think about our physical body. We're careful anymore We watch what we eat. We watch what we drink. We watch our physical exercise. We watch our weight. You know, in order to be optimal physically and spiritually, we watch what we take in. You know, the diet that we consume is what we become. So our diet has to be healthy. I'm speaking of the life of the church here. Jesus said he's the living bread, he's the living water. And also, you know, in any, when I was speaking of health and wellness there a minute ago, a diet or exercise is a major part of health and wellness. You know, they said, well, here, you eat this, but also when you're eating this, we need you to exercise over here. So many, an hour a day, 20 minutes a day, but get some strenuous exercise. And then if you look to the scriptures, Paul used that word many times. The church needs to exercise. And when the church exercises with a healthy body, no telling what could happen. It's unlimited. I think of, you know, Paul, he wrote here that I can get the scriptures here. Okay, it says here, Acts 24:16. These are some exercise directions. It says, and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. That's a good exercise. To have always a conscience that void of offense toward God and toward men. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, godlikeness. Jesus said, Paul said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 5:14, it says, but strong meat belong to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And everybody has a day, everybody every day has an opportunity to exercise themselves in godlikeness and discerning of good and evil. Exercise ourselves. Our body, in order for our body to stay fit, we need to exercise. Hebrews 12:11. Now no healing for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now that means when the Lord chastens you and he changes some things in your life, that you will be bettered if you exercise in yourself because of that. You know, if because of his chastening, we respond and say, Lord, I want to change that, that's exercising ourselves. And the Lord chastens those that he loves. And a few other scriptures here. When there's some infirmities or some sicknesses in the body, there's help. You know, that's the beautiful part of it is in Hebrews 4:15-16, it says that Jesus, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a God there that wants to bring restoration and healing, and we can come boldly to that throne of grace. And a few other verses here I thought would fit in today. I didn't read some of these scriptures, but in Ephesians 5, or in Ephesians 1, this is speaking of the church and the body of Christ. And hath put all things, in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now that, I sometimes do believe that we forget a verse like that. The church is his body, which filleth, which it's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The completeness, when the scripture talks about the completeness or a fullness, it talks about that Jesus Christ is all in all. He's the head, but his body is the fullness of everything. and think about, sometimes I think we lose sight of the beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ and how that God has designed it, that it's a complete package. There's a fullness there. And in Ephesians 4, 12 to 14, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And he was speaking of the gifts again there in Hebrews, the ministers, and he talks about that we henceforth be no more, or in Ephesians there, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'd like to turn to that a little bit, Ephesians 4. Have a few thoughts about that. Now, when he's speaking here in Ephesians 4, that was after he gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That here again, it's God's order. He says here, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now that scripture is, sometimes I struggled with that scripture, with this thought that, and I believe there's an element in Christianity that the Christian is always striving for, we could say perfection. He's always striving for a goal, but there's also an element I think we miss, is that because I don't know, you know, I have never met any church or any Christian that would say that he's arrived at his fullest. I'm at my peak. I can't make it. I can't go any further. I've never heard anybody say that. I've never heard a church confess that. And sometimes I thought, I had in my mind that, well, someday we're going to get a church that's here. You know, the scripture says it. Till we get to the fullness, and I believe there's an element of that's okay to have a high ideal. We need that. We need a high ideal. You know, press toward the high mark. If you're going to aim high. But I also see that I wrote something down here in my notes that I think I'll just read here. That God's design for the body of Christ is also good and perfect. I forgot to talk about a verse back here first. Let's go back to there was another verse I wanted to talk about back in our text. Corinthians 12, one verse I want to mention there yet. And then we'll move on to this next thought. In 12, that the verse that I don't know if I read that, and I don't think verse 26 and 27. It says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now I don't know what you think about when you hear those words, but the word particular, means distinct. It means a single instance, that particular chair right there, the first one on row one. That particular chair, or a distinct, separate, and minute part, and that what he's teaching here is that if you're here, you're a member in particular. It's important that you're here. You're needed here. It's not just by chance or by the luck of the draw, if we can use that phrase, but you're members in particular. You're important here. In particular. Distinct. a single instance. We have a bunch of single instances or a bunch of distincts in here. And that are distinctly different, but they're brought together by the blood of Christ. But each one is a member, and he's a very important member. He's a member in particular. Don't get this feeling, thinking that I'm a nobody here. It's not important that I'm here. No. You're a member in particular, the Bible says. And God is pleased to have you here. Think about it. It's the Word of God. But this is what I was going to get to about Ephesians chapter 4 there. When that verse there, I thought that till we all come to the unity of faith and the fullness, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I used to think that, well, we'll get there someday. But in any church of Jesus Christ, there's things that are, you know, we would like to see different. But remember that God's design for the body of Christ is good and perfect. This is what I wrote down. The individuals that make up this body, we would all agree that we or I have needs. But as a whole unit, it is good. When we think about in the Church of Jesus Christ is the only institution where 100 imperfections make one perfection. Think about that. We each have shortcomings, but by everybody coming together, it works out. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, you think about, you know, sometimes I'm 100% for having high ideals, but God would have us to appreciate and be thankful for what we have today, despite some of the things that aren't just like they should be. There's a perfection to that. Because the Church of Jesus Christ has always been made up of people just like you and me, with shortcomings. But may we, you know, God can take the weak things and make them like they aren't. He can make them take a weak thing and make it like it is. Now, we don't rest if there's things that need mending and repairing. Step forward in faith. Do what we can. But there's still, there's a perfection in all of our imperfections, if I can say it that way. The body of Christ. It's whole. What is Hebrews 6:1? It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to unto perfection. He's urging the believers. And believe you me, the word of God was from generation to generation. They were all people that faced challenges. Every generation had something that was trying its utmost to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. It's no different then than it is today. But remember, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Think about it. The gates of hell are not going to destroy it. So may we in faith just embrace the principles of how we operate one with another. You know, Willie talked about it today, that we forgive and forbear. And, you know, there's many verses, forgiving and forbearing one another. All of, you know, when Paul wrote to these churches, they were facing things. He just urged them on, forgive, forbear one another, carry each other's burdens, bear one another's burdens, lift one another up to the throne of God, pray for each other. He gave clear directions of how to be overcoming and how to mend the things that are lacking and hurting and sick. Walk as children of light. We talked about exercise. It says, and then I'd like to, you know, one, I wanted to speak just a little bit about this, was encourage our hearts to, you know, a personal ownership. You know, you brothers don't look after my physical body. You understand? I have that within myself. It's my responsibility. But you don't come and ask me if I brushed my teeth this morning. You don't look after my everyday life things that I should take care of. But we need to also, within the body of Christ, take a personal ownership, a personal responsibility and accountability one toward another, because what I do affects you and what you do affects me. We can't remove ourselves from that principle. That is what, I just say that as a truth. You know, we all have a personal accountability and responsibility toward each other, but first of all, toward the church of Jesus Christ, which in Timothy says is the church of the living God, and it's the pillar and ground of truth. The church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. That same church that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against. I'd like to turn to a few scriptures yet here. One scripture reading yet in Romans chapter 12. We'll read the first five verses, then I'll take my seat. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace of given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's that measure again. According as God hath dealt to every man a small part or a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I think we'll quit reading there. And, you know, there was other things that could have been said today, but I was just encouraged by, I didn't even finish that in chapter 12 there. I'd like to look at that done. Corinthians 12 there, yeah. He says here that, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, verse 28, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of his tongues. And then he asks these questions, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? The answer to all those questions is no. Not everybody does all those things. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he moves on to Corinthians 13, which in all of the operation of the church of Jesus Christ, we have clear direction here in 12, but if it needs to be undergirded by Corinthians 13, or it's all vain. That true love, charity. Charity suffereth long. We know that scripture, but that has to be the undergirding and the foundation of our life, each thing we do. And then we can be effective as a body of believers. So may the Lord bless each one of you. Thank you for your attention. If there was something shared that doesn't correspond to God's word, why, you can talk to me about it. God bless you all.